Move, also by First Baptist Church, and I get the opportunity to spend a little bit of time this morning with Assistant Fire Chief and Public Information Officer for Bartlesville Fire Department. I think you still are, Bill Hollander. Good morning, Bill.
I am still Bill Hollander. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning. Thank you very much for coming in. Bill, it seems to me that, and I know the Fire Department you're out there doing what you're supposed to do, hopefully saving lives and property if you get notified in time. But you're out there also with a fire prevention message, and thought we'd spend a little bit of time this morning trying to, install some good practices somewhere along the line and remind people of those common sense things that we forgot about, like, you know, something as simple as does your smoke alarm work and that sort of thing.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're not only in the business of firefighting and suppression, and like you said, saving lives and property, but we're also in the business of fire education.
Yeah.
We never educate ourselves out of a job, unfortunately, but, you know, the least amount of fires and property damage and lives lost that we can have, then it's better for all of us.
Yeah. Cold weather, seems as though a couple of things happen. Hopefully by now people have had their furnaces checked, but you never know. Sometimes it's not in the budget. And
absolutely.
I don't know what the charge is, I guess depending on your particular person, but somewhere $100 or less probably will get that furnace checked. And sometimes, I haven't checked, but frequently PSO and some of the other utilities will have a little bit of a rebate to get that done.
Now, I'm not sure how that rebate works. Obviously, the power companies would be able to tell you, but you're absolutely right. If you do have a furnace that you're using instead of electric heat, you might open up the combustion chamber and just look at the color of the flame.
Yeah.
The color of flame is nice and blue. You know, you're probably getting a good gas exchange and air exchange in your unit. If it's looking orange reddish, it's probably time to call a serviceman to come check your unit out and make the proper adjustments so it's working properly.
Yeah, sometimes as something as easy as changing out the filter will make a big difference too.
Absolutely. Filters, clogged filters, you know, that's something if you don't put on a regular maintenance schedule, is oftentimes overlooked. I know personally I have to have a reminder on my phone every month just to remind myself to, you know, change my filters.
Some time ago, I got one of those smarter thermostats, and at least it will now remind me. You know, I set it for whatever interval, and ideally every 30 days, but realistically, whatever you set it for, it will pop up with a reminder, kind of like on your phone, change the furnace filter.
Yeah, so. That's great. I hope it's annoying enough that it prompts people to do so. Absolutely. you know, another thing too. Especially this time of year, people running their Christmas lights, mm-hmm. and their accessories, whether it be, you know, blow-up decorations in the yard or whatever. We find often that extension cords come into use in play.
You think?
Yeah. Yes, obviously. I use extension cords at my house, too. The one thing you don't want to do, though, especially on the inside, is you never want to run an extension cord underneath anything, underneath a throw rug, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Because they can be a trip hazard. I can see why people would do it.
I can, too. You know, it's covered up. It's ugly. It's out of sight. But those rugs, they trap the heat. Mm-hmm. And a cord is designed to dissipate heat as it goes. And if you get enough layers of material on top of a cord, it cannot dissipate its heat properly and can and has started fires.
Fortunately, for at least a lot of the indoor Christmas lights, for sure, we have gotten away from the lights of the 50s, 60s, and 70s. They're much more energy efficient. You get
yes.
more light out of the lower current bulbs.
Yeah, so. Amen for LED bulbs.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. You know, another thing too is I'm gonna caution you to check your extension cords, and I'll give you an example. This weekend I was in Kansas City for the holidays at my brother-in-law's house.
Good for you.
And he had some outdoor lighting, and I was outside with my nieces and nephews, and I saw what I thought was like a red nylon rope that was running around the side of the house, and mm-hmm. I thought, where's that rope going? It's all knotted up and twisted and you know, gave the classic signs of a rope. Mm-hmm. And upon closer inspection, it was actually an extension cord.
Oh, wow.
That had been overheated and shrunk and wrapped around and curled up. And so even, you know, my family members can overlook things. So we had to get that addressed right away.
Well, extension cords, and by the way, not all of them are weatherproof and should be used outside.
That's correct.
But they can also wear over time. You need to inspect them every time you pull one out.
Absolutely. You know, if it sticks in the storage for, you know, a year and you bring it out once a year for your lighting purposes, many times people find that mice have possibly gnawed on the wiring in there and making a nest. You know how mice and squirrels and things, they like to gnaw on wiring. Mm-hmm. And it's imperative that you check it, because it can definitely cause a fire. And even if it's outside, and if you're running it through, you know, a pine tree or dead grass, you know, all that can make a difference too. So.
Yeah. So again, you probably don't have to worry about heat dissipation outside, but
no.
Moisture getting into the insulation and that sort of thing, yeah, big time.
Yeah, arcs and sparks, etc. Yeah, absolutely.
Water and electricity, well, it's actually, the water doesn't conduct electricity. It's all the salts and dissolved solids in it that do.
The minerals, yeah. In it. That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Some of the other things while we're talking about lighting, they, again, traditionally on the older light bulbs on Christmas trees, and I'm sure there's still some of them around, mm-hmm. they used to say something like, and I hope I'm remembering this correctly, don't use more than 6 or 7 strings of lights in a row. But those were the old lights.
That's true. And, you know, even on today's modern lights, you will see every package will say, do not extend more than blank amount of light strings,
yeah.
on it. So even though they're a lot safer to use today, LEDs also, you can't just take one string and run it all the way around your house coming from one outlet. That would be fire danger.
Yeah,
Charlie. So yeah, and it's up against, if you got lights on your eaves, it's up against your eaves, up against your house, and sure, we see fires that get started that way.
Yeah, there's always one fire every year that somebody, for whatever reason, maybe they had a furnace problem, but they end up using their oven as a heat source.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and there's some people, too, that are don't have the means, possibly,
yeah.
to be able to afford a furnace. And we have issues with that. Just in Tulsa 2 weeks ago, they had a house fire where I believe a couple of ladies had turned the burners on their stove and then set a fan near the stove to kind of blow the heat around the house a little bit. Well,
mm-hmm.
it's all good in theory, but the fan fell over and caught on fire, and they were lucky to get out of alive, honestly. Another thing that we see sometimes is people bringing propane heaters into their house, and
mm-hmm.
that brings up a whole new set of issues. Not just fire danger, but carbon monoxide issues,
mm-hmm.
you know. And if you don't have the means to be able to purchase, you know, regular gas or your gas company, it's kind of unlikely you're probably going to have the means to purchase a carbon monoxide detector.
Right.
So it does pose a big danger. Just the big thing to know is if it's not a natural heating source in your home that's supposed to be used for heating, try not to do it. No charcoal grills, no forced propane heaters. If you have electricity, electric heaters are fine. I know they're not very effective. It does have that radiant heat, but once again, I've got to caution strongly on the use of small portable electric heaters.
Mm-hmm.
They're not ever to be plugged into any type of extension cord. They're supposed to be plugged directly into a wall outlet, and you got to make sure you keep any combustibles, you know, papers, waste baskets, books, carpets, you know, that have mm-hmm. loose shag, appropriate distance away, so they're not going to catch fire.
And I have seen, and I'm sure you have probably seen the results of, where somebody will have one of those little space heaters underneath their desk, and just to kind of keep their toes warm at work, and then walk away, and it was on all night.
Yeah. I can guarantee you right now there's listeners out there this minute going like, ooh, that's me. And yeah, they're looking under their desk right now as we speak. And yeah, you know, I'm not going to say that's the wrong thing to do, but once again, you've got to be cognizant of the no extension cord rule to get it over underneath your desk to warm your feet. And instead of just turning it off at night, unplug it. That's just the safest thing to do. Unplug it if you're using those.
Yeah, and I think that's probably, well, electrically, that's the safest thing to do on any appliance, although TVs and those sort of thing, we tend to leave them plugged in even during a thunderstorm, may or may not be the best thing to do.
And that's true. You know, the issue with the space heaters is they pull so much wattage. I have seen people use extension cords successfully with space heaters, but if you go to your local grocery store and get the $1.99 brown or white one with lamp cord on it, you know.
Yeah, that's first of all, the current capacity on the wire gauge that's in there frequently can't handle.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. Yeah, they'll mount and cause a fire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it, what a fuse is, it's a small piece of wire that is designed to melt before so you do more damage on the circuit.
That's a great analogy. Yeah.
Some of the other things that go on, whether it's space heaters or not, it's combustibles around a heat source somewhere along the line.
Right. And, you know, especially if you have young kids, you know, we had Christmas and we open up all the presents and wrapping paper and hopefully everything's been picked up. But wrapping paper is a great combustible.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, maybe little Billy wadded up, threw it behind the chair and you've got another heat source back there. So just check around. Make sure you don't have anything close proximity to any heat source that could cause your problem.
Yeah. Many homes, one of the beautiful things about somebody's home is a fireplace. And from the having the chimney cleaned all the way to what you put in it and when you put in it and how you get it lit, it already is a fire. Where it goes from there is up to who's using it.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We have one or two chimney fires every single year. And it's usually caused, people haven't had their chimneys professionally cleaned, and creosote and wood byproducts build up in the flue of the chimney, creating kind of like a tarry mass in there. Mm-hmm. And it gets started usually by people throwing things in their fireplace that they typically shouldn't. It create a high flame, like a, you know, just for instance, Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, boxes, wrapping paper, you know, well, we don't want to tear this box down,
yep.
Put it in the trash, so we'll just burn it in the fireplace, and it creates a higher heat.
I can remember my mom and dad doing that.
Sure.
With the fireplace in the house. Now, granted, there was already a log on the fire, but they figured as long as, hey, we started the fire with a piece of paper, let's throw some more paper in there.
Exactly, yeah. You know, and it can be done safely if you do it in small quantities, but when you try to shove the whole box in there,
yeah.
You know, or large quantities of paper because you're in a hurry, that's when you're going to have an issue.
Yeah. Smoke detectors anymore? I know the batteries in the newer ones typically last longer, although there are still some that operate on either AA or 9-volt. But some of the newer ones are, I think you've said the batteries are designed to last about the same length that the radium source is good. So it kind of works out all the way around.
Yeah, the newer smoke detectors, they have, they call it a 10-year battery. I hesitate to say, yeah, they're good to go for 10 years because I've personally seen 10-year batteries last, you know, one or two.
Right.
So, you know, if it's chirping, it's time to replace that battery. The main thing, though, is, you know, when you're changing that battery, undo your smoke detector, just twist it, and look at the back of it. If it's more than 10 years old, it is time to replace your smoke detector. I know people don't think, well, what can go wrong? Well, a lot of things can go wrong. You have some detectors have photoelectric eyes, mm-hmm. and other things in there. Detectors and sensors, and those things do wear out. And if you think about it, when you go test that smoke detector, you push that button, all you're really testing is the horn. And, okay, well, the horn works. It must be good to go. Well, that's not the case always, you know. So just twist it off. Take a look at the back. Every smoke detector has a manufacturer date on it. And if it's more than 10 years old, chuck it. It's time to get a new one. They're cheap. They'll save your life, Charlie.
Is there another test that people should or maybe should not do? I've heard of people lighting a match underneath a smoke detector and some of the other things just to see if the ionization chamber works.
You know, and yeah, I'm not going to say that you shouldn't do that, but if you do that, take it outside first.
Let's not
light up a fire inside our house just to test our smoke detector. Yeah.
Okay. We'll take a break and continue our time this morning with hopefully a few fire prevention tips from Bill Hollander when we continue in just a moment.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
And continuing our time this morning talking fire safety with Bill Hollander. And I know some insurance, I would say most insurance companies, will give a discount if you have a fire extinguisher and a smoke detector in the house. Check with your agent. Is it a good idea to have a fire extinguisher, particularly in or around the kitchen somewhere?
Oh, absolutely. Kitchen fires are the number one cause of residential fires in the United States, actually worldwide. They're very common. Kitchen fires are very common. And a lot of kitchen fires can be minimized if people don't panic. Panic causes a lot of damage, and it causes people to be horrifically injured mm-hmm. and to die. If you have something on the stove and it's on fire, never, ever, ever grab the pan and try to throw it in the sink. I've seen people, they're going to take it outside. I've seen in the panic, they throw it in a trash can. Okay, well, you have this flaming, sloshing pan of fire, and it just doesn't make sense to try to go anywhere with that flaming, sloshing pan of fire because it's going to splatter, and it's going to go on you, and then you're going to throw your hands up just as a natural reaction.
And maybe there's a kid or a pet on the floor in between you and the sink.
Absolutely. And then where's your fire? It's all around the floor, all around you, maybe your child or pet. And then you've got a real issue. If you see a pan on fire on your stove, number one thing is do not panic. Just go over, turn off the heat source, turn the burner off, and put a lid on it, and the fire will go out. Turn off the heat source, put a lid on it, fire will go out. Give us a call. We're going to come out and check for you, make sure you didn't get fire in your cabinets.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing goes for an oven fire or a microwave fire. If you have a fire in your oven or in your microwave, don't open the door. That just gives you more air to that fire. Just turn off the microwave, turn off the oven. You've got a piece of glass there you can look through and see how the fire is doing, and it should smother itself. It'll go out because of the lack of air. And once again, give us a call. We'll come out, but don't panic. Don't try to rip things out of the oven or out of the microwave. Never, ever, ever introduce water and grease together. It's a very violent reaction, trying to put grease fires out with water.
But I can see the cook, whoever he or she might be, saying, I paid a bunch of money for that steak. I'm getting it out of there right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So
anyway, people just, I think most of it is common sense. We're not giving a lot of brand new information. This is stuff people have heard before. But in a situation, we're not thinking common sense. We're thinking, put the fire out, get it away from me right now.
Right, exactly. And like I'm going to stress, like I said before, the key thing is do not panic. Panic kills. Just use your head, think it through. Get out of the house if it's beyond the point where you can safely, turn off the power and put a lid on it or whatever you need to do. Get out of the house. Call 911. We're going to come take care of it for you.
Yeah, man. It's three easy digits to dial. Even your cell phone can handle it.
That's correct.
Yeah. Bill, thank you so much. You guys are a great resource. We thank you for who you are and what you do, because you're there 24/7 taking care of the rest of us.
Anytime, Charlie. All of us folks at the fire department, we want everybody to have a safe and safe and happy holiday.
Yeah, thank you very much. Bill Hollander with us this morning on a K1 Community Connection, and hopefully this Christmas or this New Year, or for that matter this 4th of July, you'll be a little bit safer because of some of the information we got from Bill this morning. That's a Community Connection on K1.
Hi, this is Rod McElvain, pastor of Grace Community Church. When we hear the word spiritual discipline,